allow us to get ourselves out of the way tonight, Lord. Enjoy your song service. And I ask people to buy into the sermon. Lord, that you just have your way amongst the people. And pray to buy into the service and make their loved ones little bride, whatever they might be. I ask all these things in your name.
Amen. You may be seated. Three, the presence of the Lord. Truly, the presence of the Lord is in this place.
I can see.
short service of prayer. And we want to pray for the Pavelski family. Today was the funeral of Sister Kathy Pavelski. And we do have it on video, if anybody would like to see it. Also want to pray for Robert Kerr, still recovering from, I think he had strokes of some sort. I don't know what the real definition was or the official definition was, but he's still recovering, and it's going to take some time before he has full functionality. So we just want to keep him in prayer, and want to just keep those who are away, Lieutenant Nick up in up north, and those who could be here. Just want to keep them in prayer as well. And a week from, let's see, the week of October 6th, 7th, about 9, Michael and Helena will be in Norway, and then England, and then Poland. So actually, it's going to be two weekends in a row. And I don't like to be gone two weekends in a row, but that's laid out this time because of a wedding that I was asked to do in Norway. And some people have been following the ministry for about 10 years. And, so I was thankful for them. Do we have any other prayer requests this time? Brother Josh, would you take these requests before the Lord?
Just bring these requests before the Lord. Just, you know, Lord, that you promised us all these things, Lord. We just pray, Lord, just do the Holsky family, Lord, in Canada at home, Lord. And just be on their hearts, Lord, and just be with her husband, Lord, and be with her children, Lord. Just that they may know, Lord, she's in your hands, Lord. We just pray, Lord, just do Robert Kerr, Lord, and just heal him, Lord. Be on his heart, Lord, and just be with his family, Lord, in this time. We just pray, Lord, just protect those, Lord, and heal those that are sick at this time, Lord. And Brother Gwen and Nick, Lord, on the road, Lord, just protect them, Lord. Come home, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, just guide us in this time, Lord, and just may our ears be open today, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, and look forward to the things we do this year, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And we'll be gone from the 4th until the 12th of October. And, he's all that I need.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to take our text from verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us under everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. And Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. And if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercies, think on these things. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we know and believe that you are here this evening and in our midst. And though we cannot see you nor feel you, yet we have your great assurance that your pillar of fire is here leading us to the millennium. For you told us that that is your purpose through the lips of your vindicated prophet. And not only have we heard this, Father, from the lips of your prophet, but with thanksgiving, we are following you and leading you, O Father, because many have seen your presence still alive among us, O God. Therefore, Father, be with us as we lay ourselves open to your great presence that we know is among us, and may your presence bring comfort to us, Father, for you are the God of all comfort. And help us to understand what we're doing here today and what you're doing, Father, as we have no prophet among us to speak for thee. Help us, Father, to know and understand our place in your kingdom and what you're doing yet in this hour as we look to those words that you spoke through your vindicated prophet, knowing that you are the I am and not the I was. Then, Father, as we believe your words through William Branham, we know that they were not your words, not words from the past, but they are words for the present. And we know and believe, Father, that those words were not the words of a man, but they were your words, Father. And we have confidence in your great message, which you give us, and you gave us, Father, through that yielded vessel. And we believe those words are still much alive today, and with such power, the same as they were in that day, as they were spoken. Therefore, Father, we know that you have come in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of yourself. Then hear our petition to thee this evening, Father. And we ask that you would open to us your great fountain of wisdom and help us to know and be sure and be comforted by your presence among us, for we ask this in the precious name of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Again, this evening, I would like to continue examining Brother Branham's sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, and look at this mini-series that we're kind of in called The Image of the Invisible, and yet another attribute, characteristics of that invisible King, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the attributes and characteristics that make up the character. Because notice if you got the word characteristic actually has its root in the word character. So these are istics of the character, so to speak. They're the attributes of what makes up the character. And we're looking at the invisible King and yet not being able to see him with our eyes, yet there are other things that we can see to recognize those characteristics. And thus, as Jesus Christ was the very image of the invisible God, we know that we understand is the very character of God himself. In our Bibles, and from Brother Branham's sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, he spoke from Colossians 1:15, which says, that who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So Brother Branham was talking about Jesus here, the scripture talking about Jesus follows, and talking about he was the image of the invisible God. Now I'd like to stop for a moment in our reading this evening, because these words that Brother Branham is saying in this next paragraph here really help us understand in every way that the attributes and characteristics which make up the character of God was reflected in Christ Jesus. And from his message identification, Brother Branham says, then see, God came down, and the character of God was Christ. He was the reflection. He was God made visible. Notice, God made visible. In the beginning was God. He wasn't even God then. No, God's an object of worship. Only thing was, he was the eternal, and in him was attributes, and those attributes were thoughts. And those thoughts were expressed through words, and the words was made manifest. What is it? It's all God becoming tangible. And you are a part of God. And Jesus came to redeem those that was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the world. It was in God's thoughts. And that's what he came to redeem. And them, as soon as it strikes to them, they see it because the light is in there. But if the light isn't in there, then what can they do? See? They don't see it. They'll never see it, see? And the whole thing is, Jesus said, at that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. The whole thing is God becoming material, like a husband and wife becoming one together, God and his church becoming one. So, this is the hour, brother and sister, that Jesus Christ's prayer in John 17 is to be fulfilled. In that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, I in you. and you and me. I hope and trust that you all believe that and receive that and know that He is in you. Again, from God identifying Himself by His characteristics, Brother Branham said, let me just read another one from identification. Paragraph 49, Brother Branham says, no other creature could do this. No, because He was the molded, perfect character of God. For it was a fallen character that all nature had. All men had a fallen character. Even everything that was under man fell. Everything's got a dying character, and He had a living character. So He expressed it in Christ, and He paid the price. And then because of His obedience, He raised Him up on the third day, see? And then He gives us, that gives to us the proof. It gives to us the assurance that as long as we're in Him, we're already risen with Him. We won't raise with Christ. We've already raised with Christ. That's right. We are in Christ now. And if Christ be risen from the dead, aren't we raised from the dead with Him? Amen. Now, we're sitting together in heavenly places in Him. Oh my, that ought to make you Presbyterians shout. Uh-huh. Certainly, express images of God, molded after the fashion of Christ, that the world can't see Him in you. That's the looking glass to look at. And remember, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, when we look in the mirror of the Word, we're changed from an image to image, from glory to glory, from our opinions to His opinions, from our values to His values. And then we find in God identifying Himself, Brother Brown said, did you notice God never changes His way? In the old Bible, when a dreamer dreamed a dream, there was no prophet in the land to see if the dream was right or not. They had another way of finding out. They took that character, ever who dreamed the dream, took him down to the temple, the breastplate of Aaron, who was the high priest, hung on the post, and this dreamer told his dream. No matter how good it sounds, how real it sounds, if there wasn't a supernatural light that flashed on those stones, which is called the Urim Thummim, the Bible readers understand, then I don't care how real it sounded, it wasn't so. The usualness of God, the character of God, had to display its characteristics in the supernatural to show that He identified Himself in that message. Amen. I say the same thing tonight. The old Urim Thummim is gone, but the Word's still the thing that identifies the characteristics of God, the promises of the hour that we're living in. There is God's characteristic identified by the promise of the hour that we're living in. That makes God the same as He was in sundry times. So in this day, we don't have a prophet to tell us before the thing comes to pass if our dream is from God or not. But we do have the fact that Brother Branham said God reveals His Word or interprets His Word by bringing it to pass. So if God gives you a dream and that dream does come to pass, then you know where He got it from. Amen. Now, knowing that God is the God of all comfort, it's reassuring, especially since we have gone through here recently. We've suffered great loss of friends and family. Brother Bale, Brother Petrus, my mother, Brother Mario's brother, and now Sister Kathy Havelski. And it seems sometimes that we come to the place that we just can't see daylight. Everything seems to be so dark, and the promise of God seem to be so distant, and there seems to be no relief in sight. That is the essence of what we're looking at here. Now, we're coming to a time when all seems to be lost in this world economically. Everything's going down. Socially, everything's going down. Politically, everything's just falling apart. Even looking out upon the message as a whole, spiritually, things are going down. The light seems to have grown dark, in time when everything seems to be going the wrong way for us. And then he tells us that is when we need to know that we have a Father to whom we can cry out. A Father who will hear us and bring comfort to those of us in need. Now remember, we read the scripture, He's the God of all comfort. You see, the God of consolation. You know, the Apostle Paul told us the same thing in 2 Corinthians. He told us that our God is a God who is full of mercy, and He's a God of comfort. And in fact, He told us that He's a God of all comfort. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, we read, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Well, that doesn't sound like one of these Old Testament renditions of an angry God to me. It sounds like a God of mercy, a God of comfort. Who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. I'm going to read that again because there's something very important. We're talking about the image of the invisible. And I'm not just yakking my jaws here to say, oh, we can talk about theology, we can talk about this, about Jesus. I'm talking about you. Because if we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, and God is the God of all comfort, and Jesus showed us comfort and consolation by what He did for us. As Paul says here, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that, there's a purpose for God comforting you in all your tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So as you receive from God, you're able to give back to others. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, you shall also be partakers of the consolation.
Hallelujah.
Now these words are so outstanding to us, especially in these times when we have loved ones among us and close to us that have suddenly, without explanation or being aware, that have been snatched out of our midst. To some of you listening, it may be, have been family. To others, it may have been close friends, as Brother Wayne a few years ago, a close friend of mine. Regardless of the relationship, we must all deal with the reality of a sudden change in our life. And we need for comfort, and a real need for comfort. And today, we were able, by the grace of God, and by modern technology, we were able to watch the funeral of Brother Adam's mother. We watched right here in the church with Brother Adam's family, my wife and I, Sister Kathy Avelsky. Having experienced this funeral, several this year alone, seems like I've attended three or four funerals already this year, as well as many over the years, including several family members and others, loved ones, who are as close as family, I would like to say that comfort is not something that comes easy to us. Neither do we get comfort from someone else's experiences. Our comfort, our true comfort, comes from one source and one source only, and that is God. He's our Father, and our confidence that we have in His great judgment. As Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We have all attended funerals and have been close to someone who has suffered loss. Death, dying, and suffering, these are not uncommon to anyone who is born into this world. Certainly they are not uncommon to any who are sons and daughters of God. Yet the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4:12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. There's nothing new under the sun." So we see that the trials that we have should not be viewed as though there were some strange thing happening to us that don't happen to other people. On the contrary, he said, our attitude should be to rejoice for those trials, he said in verse 13. "But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy." And we know His glory was revealed in this hour because He came down Himself at the shop and He revealed to us His values, His holiness, and what He expects from us. He revealed to us His opinions and His judgments. But if you will recall in our studies we've had over the past, it's not the trial itself that we rejoice in, but what the trial produces in our character, because the only thing we're going to take with us is our character. For God has not placed us under trial and suffering to get a kick out of it. We were told that even the Son of God learned obedience by the things that He suffered. The things that He suffered was to produce something in Him. And the Bible tells us that those trials and suffering perfected Him. In Hebrews 5 and verse 7 we read, "Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death," notice that although God was able to save His Son from death, He didn't. Because it was His will to bruise and smash that sweet rose of Sharon until the beautiful perfume of the Holy Ghost left Him, so that you and I could enjoy that sweet smelling savor. And it says, "And was heard in that He feared." Yes, Jesus, God's firstborn Son, feared. But His fear was not a fear of doubt, but a reverential subjection of Himself to the will of God, knowing the bruising, knowing the smashing that He was going to go through. He said, "Father, I would that You take this cup from Me." But then after a great struggle and finally the victory, He said, "Nevertheless, not My will, but Thy will be done." Though He were a son, Paul says, yet learned the obedience by the things that He suffered. And being made perfect, being made complete, finished off, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. So how did He become perfect? By suffering in His flesh. Now the word perfect was translated from the Greek word teleo, which means to be made complete or consummate in your character. In other words, His character was finished off. It was completed by this act of subjecting His will to the Father's will, this once for all act. Now the Apostle Peter he went on to say in verse 14, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. And that word is endoxazo. It means the glory of God is expressed or magnified in your flesh. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first begins at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him that in well doing, for unto as unto a faithful Creator. Now, in getting back to what the Apostle Paul was telling us when he said he's the God of all comfort, he said in 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us with all in all of our tribulation. Now, I want you to notice here that God not only comforts you, but he is the God of all comfort and has promised to comfort us in every time of need. And the reason God brings us comfort is that we might bring comfort to others in their time of need, because Paul goes on to say that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Now, there's coming up a great squeeze, brother, sister. And the people that are going to be hurting the most is not you. It's going to be those who are needing you to be a comfort to them. You see, it is God that brings us our comfort. Then it's not your words or your experiences that will bring comfort to others, but it is your reflecting God and reflecting His Word and reflecting His promises. You see? You're reflecting the God of all comfort to them that will bring them comfort in times of trial and need. No one has been hit by sudden loss or severe injury is interested in what someone else has gone through. No, they're not interested. You say, well, I understand because, you know, I just lost my mother too. Well, they're not really interested in your mother. They're interested in what they're going through. See? So that's not the time for it. When sudden loss occurs or sudden injury or time of real need, the best thing we can do for those who are suffering is to be sure ourselves of the love of God and that God indeed is a faithful God, and you're bringing comfort to others is not in what you can do. It's not what you can say. It's not what you've experienced. It's what God has said. There's a time and a place for all of that, but in time of distress, we bring comfort by having been comforted by God ourselves. And our comfort and confidence in God having brought us comfort will bring comfort to those who are hurting and in need. And I remember the time I experienced myself when my father had passed away in 1977. My family was all distraught, and they were fussing with each other, and they basically were hurting because of the loss of the headship. And so there was kind of a little fuss going on, who's going to be, who's going to take charge of the order of the services and all this other stuff. And so the eldest sister, she fussed with the second oldest brother, and finally they said, well, Paul, he's the eldest brother, let him take. My sister was just falling apart. And nothing against her. She wanted to make sure everything was done right. But, she just couldn't handle the pressure. And so there's this little thing taking place, and I just stepped back and I told my mother, I said, Mom, I said, I have a real assurance that God is with Jesus Christ right now. Because just a week before, in fact, 2 days before he died, I had a good talk with him about salvation. And he assured me that Jesus Christ was a permanent thing in his life. And he assured me that if he had to choose between the church, which he was Catholic, and Jesus Christ, there's no doubt it would be Jesus Christ. And that and if Jesus had not died for anybody else, he certainly had died for me. So I said, I believe that he's there. I believe that all this fussing just needs to stop. And just let's get our thoughts on the thing that should be. Well, even Brother Branham, he experienced much in terms of sorrow and despair. He said the only one who could comfort him when his little Sharon Rose passed away was God. No one else could do it. Only God could comfort him. And from He Careth, You Care, he said, I walked over to the bed, put my hands on her little head, and I said, Darling, God gave you and God's taking you away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though you slay me, yet I'll trust you. Yes, sir. I said, I'll take you, darling, and lay you on your mother's arms yonder in the undertaker's morgue in about an hour from now. But yet if he kills me, there's nothing I can go to. He's the only hope that I've ever found. He's the only foundation. He's the only comfort that I ever had. And where could I go now for comfort if it wasn't for him? When I said that, the angels come and packed her away, and I just almost collapsed. But something happened. He was my comforter. He came to me. He cared for me. And so he cares for you. That's the name of his servant. Now notice Paul said that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. When you yourself show an open confidence in God's, in the God of all comfort, that confidence in God brings comfort to those in time of need. In Paul's message, he continues, "For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also, our comfort also abounds by Christ. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as we are partakers of his suffering, so shall we also be of his consolation, his comfort." Finally, in closing, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 15, verse 5, "Now the God of patience and consolation," that's the God of comfort, "grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." In other words, you want comfort, give it up. Notice that Paul calls God the God of patience and the God of consolation. I don't know if you've noticed, but people have no patience today. You know, we are in the instant society. Everything's instant. I think it started with instant coffee back in the 60s, and it's gotten stronger and stronger ever since. And people, you know, if the phone doesn't ring right away, if it doesn't go through right away, you've got to stop and turn it on again and try something else. And you know, if you're sitting at a stoplight too long, then you just don't want to sit, so you take a right and go two blocks out of the way just to keep moving. That's the way we are. Well, he's a God of patience, so I think we'll have to preach on that as well. But I don't want to ask for patience because I know what will happen. We'll get the trials to bring us to patience. But the fact is, I want you to be aware of those things. And he's a God of consolation, a God of comfort. And as God has comforted you, he wants you to reflect that attribute in him. You see, this is the thing that we have. Jesus Christ had the fullness of the Godhead in him bodily. He had every attribute, every characteristic in the full measure. Now, you and I have all the characteristics and attributes, but in a measure. Brother Branson, we have the same quality. That means you've got all the minerals, you've got all the, you know, like what's in the sea, what's in the cup. The quality is there. God doesn't expect you to be comfortless. He doesn't expect you to be without patience. He's giving you all those attributes, characteristics when you're born again. It's just that it has to add water to bring out the seeds. Remember the sermon, Brother Branham said, put a little water here, squirt, and up pops the... said every apple is in that seed to begin with. Every apple that tree will ever have is in that seed to begin with. He said, well, all it takes is water. And that's what we need from the Holy Spirit, is the water, those attributes of comfort and mercy and grace and all these things. That's why we're focusing on that, because we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we are to be transformed into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not with the beard. You don't have to worry about having the beard. It's not with nail scars. You don't have to worry about somebody physically crucifying you. But it's expressing his comfort, his grace, his mercy, his love, his patience, his endurance, all those things. Notice Paul calls him the God of patience and consolation, because after you awaited the promise, God surely will keep his promise. What consolation we have in Christ Jesus, knowing that God raised up his Son from the dead. And the Apostle Peter told us in 1 Peter 5 and 6 in closing, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may be exalted in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's bow our heads and our hearts in a word of prayer. The gracious and loving Father, we know that many hardships and trials have befallen our brethren over these past years. But through them all, you've been there. For you said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And we hold to those words, dear Lord, knowing that you do care for us. Help us then to cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. Be with those who would mourn this day, the Havelsky family, comfort the afflicted, and bring glad tidings to those that are in need. Be with Brother Adam's family, Lord, his brothers, his sisters, his father. And we ask, Father, that you, the God of all comfort, would be with them in this time of need, for we ask this In the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord shine his face upon thee.